Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Martello Technologies Group First Quarter Fiscal 2020 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for investors and analysts to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. Today, we will hear from John Proctor, President and CEO of Martello, and Aaron Crow, Martello's Chief Financial Officer. On the first part of the call, we will provide insights into the company's performance from the first quarter of the 2020 fiscal year. After that, John and Aaron will be available to answer your questions. Martello's fiscal year ends on March 31st, so today's results focus on the period ending June 30th, 2019. First, here are a couple of housekeeping notices. If you'd like more information about Martello after today's call, you can reach Martello at investor@martellotech.com. Martello is hosting an Investor Day in Toronto on Tuesday, September 24th. Details and a registration form can be found in the Investors section of martellotech.com. Both co-chairs of Martello will be in attendance, Sir Terry Matthews and Bruce Linton. This call is being recorded and we expect that the recording will be available on Martello's website today. We remind you that today's remarks will include forward-looking statements that are subject to important risks and uncertainties. For more information on these risks and uncertainties, please see the reader advisory at the bottom of Martello's results news release, as well as their MD&As. It is on their website and on SEDAR. The company's actual performance could differ materially from these statements. We'll start the call with a review of numbers from Aaron Crow, Martello's CFO. Aaron?
Thank you. In Martello's first quarter of the 2020 fiscal year, the company is focused on building a sustainable growth platform and on the generation of recurring revenue for greater predictability. I'd like to share a short bit of background on Martello before we get started today. Martello is a global technology company providing solutions that make business applications like voiceover IP and video streaming perform better. Martello has thousands of customers in more than 175 countries around the world. Before we take a closer look at the numbers, I'd like to highlight the role of Martello's co-chairman, Bruce Linton, in Martello's strategy and activities, as we often get questions on this. Bruce actively influences the business strategy that the Martello team has developed and is executing on. We value Bruce's input and we are in regular contact with him. As you'll see from the numbers, in the first quarter of fiscal 2020, Martello's year-over-year revenue growth was steady. The proportion of revenue that is recurring grew to 87% compared to 78% in the same quarter of fiscal 2019. We believe this strong recurring revenue base provides certainty and predictability. The company maintained gross margins of over 90%, which is exceptional in our industry. Here are the highlights of the first quarter fiscal 2020 results. Revenues in the first quarter of fiscal 2020 were $3.3 million, an increase of 72% compared to the same quarter in fiscal 2019. This increase can be attributed to both organic growth and the acquisition of Civision in November 2018. The recurring portion of total revenue was 87% in this quarter. Martello's organic revenue from sales of its UC performance analytics software to the Mitel channel was 37% higher in Q1 of fiscal 2020 compared to the same period in fiscal 2019. I'm pleased to report very healthy gross margins of 92.7% for the first quarter of fiscal 2020 compared to 93.5% in the same period last year. The loss from operations in Q1 2020 was $963,000 as compared to a loss of $763,000 in Q1 2019. Adjusted EBITDA, a non-IFRS financial measure which assesses operating performance before the impact of costs associated with acquisition activity and other non-cash costs, amounted to a loss of $498,000 for the 3 months ended June 30, 2019, compared to a loss of $249,000 for the same period in 2018. The loss from operations, EBITDA, and adjusted EBITDA all reflect investments in sales operations, product management, marketing, and support services, as well as new systems. In addition, professional and other fees have increased as a result of public company requirements and investor relations activities. These investments have established a strong platform for responsible growth, both organically and in a capacity to target and acquire revenue-extending assets in the future. The company had $6.6 million in cash and restricted cash on hand as of June 30, 2019, which is consistent with Q4 of fiscal 2019. The company believes that cash flow from operations, available cash, and working capital will be sufficient to fund organic growth over the next year. The company is focused on shifting its sales to a recurring revenue model wherever possible across all lines of business. Revenues in the SD-WAN and link balancing product line decreased by 9% in Q1 fiscal 2020 compared to Q4 fiscal 2019 due to some one-time services, training, and grant revenue in Q1 fiscal 2019 that were not earned in Q1 2020. The company is undertaking a planned strategic shift to focus on the growing market demand for the optimization of real-time services, which we expect will create a recurring revenue opportunity for this line of business. Recurring revenues grew in Q1 of fiscal 2020 in the IT operations analytics or Civision line of business as compared to Q4 of FY19. Perpetual revenues declined slightly because there was a higher number of perpetual deals in Q4. However, bookings remained strong in Q1 of fiscal 2020. I'll now hand it over to John Proctor, our CEO, to discuss Martello's strategy.
Thank you, Erin. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. In the first quarter of the 2020 fiscal year, Martello executed on its global growth strategy with acquisition activity, sales, partnerships, and product innovation. I will share some of these highlights today and explain the growth strategy that Martello is pursuing this year. First, I will talk about our growth strategy. We are focused on winning market share and accelerating revenue growth in fiscal 2020 and beyond, both organically and through acquisitions. Our technology stack continues to expand through acquisitions, and with thousands of customers around the world using Martello's products, we have a strong and trusted platform from which to drive business in new and exciting sales channels. We will bring new solutions to market that capitalize on the growing demand for optimization of real-time services, such as unified communications. We view this as a key opportunity for Martello to grow our recurring revenue base. We'll also focus on the expansion and development of markets for our software-defined networking products and IT operation software. In addition, we'll continue to align and grow our business with Mitel to meet the evolving needs of Mitel's customer base and channel. Partnerships have been key to Martello's success, and we will expand distribution channels while also pursuing strategic partnerships in areas such as cybersecurity and IoT network management. An example of this is the recently announced partnership with Paisler, where we are delivering a solution to meet the needs of large enterprises. We expect to see the results of this partnership in the next few quarters, and our partnership strategy allows us to deliver a stronger business outcome to customers and therefore win more business. We are focused on expanding our distribution channel for software-defined networking, link balancing, and IT visualization software through partners within our existing Mitel distribution network. And this is a channel we understand well and have served for close to 10 years. Now, our acquisition history and strategy. Martello has developed a core capacity to target, acquire, and integrate revenue-extending assets in the future. We continue to run an active merger and acquisition program assessing potential targets. We are looking at businesses that are financially stable with established revenue streams where we can accelerate their growth inside the Martello family. And this is a model we have proven we can execute successfully. From a technology perspective, we're looking for adjacent or complementary technologies that are accretive to our growing technology stack. These could be in areas such as artificial intelligence operations, IT security, network operations, or technology that can help us expand our IoT enablement capabilities. Now, sales and partnerships in the first quarter of fiscal 2020. I want to highlight the strong recurring revenue base we have, 87% of revenues in this quarter. This is part of what makes Martello a solid investment-grade technology company. The core of stable recurring revenue really provides significant upside and offers some downside protection in volatile market conditions. we are focused on shifting towards recurring revenue wherever possible across all lines of business. The diversity in Martello's client base provides additional upside to stability. We continue to see global sales growth in the first quarter of fiscal 2020, with 56% of revenues coming from outside of Canada. In Q1, the company signed a new partner in Malaysia, Surya Business Systems, and welcomed new customers in Colombia, Czech Republic, New Zealand, Norway, Qatar, and Peru. Among Martello's long-standing customers is Leiden University Medical Center, a customer of ours for almost 10 years. In Q1, they expanded their solution to use Martello to manage their hybrid cloud environment. Many businesses are struggling with the complexity of hybrid cloud infrastructures, and Martello is providing them with increased clarity and control to improve their service operations. We also continue to grow our footprint in the hospitality industry, where we are helping many of the world's most recognizable hotel brands to achieve reliable high-speed internet access. In the first quarter of 2020, we announced a partnership with leading hospitality solution provider GuestTech and closed or renewed hotels in the US, Canada, Malaysia, and Morocco. Finally, I'd like to share some product innovation updates. Martello is increasingly focused on accelerating recurring revenue growth through the development of solutions that leverage the company's complete technology stack. We believe that the optimization of services, including those operating real-time and strained network resources, is a challenge we can address effectively to drive a new stream of recurring revenue for the business. As a growing number of services move into the cloud, Martello has positioned itself as a provider of solutions to manage the performance of services in public, private, and hybrid cloud environments. In the fourth quarter of 2019, the company launched support for Office 365 and Azure in its IT analytics software. And in Q1 of 2020, we announced that Leiden University Medical Center had adopted this solution. To wrap up, I will leave you with a few takeaways. First, I firmly believe that stability and diversity in our revenues makes Martello an attractive and solid investment-grade technology business. Our strong recurring revenue base across multiple products is predictable and stable, and we have gross margins that are exceptional in our industry. We also have significant diversity in our client base across multiple lines of business and in more than 175 countries. Second, we see significant opportunity in the growth areas we are pursuing, including the real-time services optimization with software-defined networking, and we continue to execute on the build and buy strategy that we communicated when we went public in September 2018. Finally, I'm delighted that one institution has recently initiated research coverage on Martello, and I look forward to welcoming others in the future. Aaron Crowe and I are here to answer your questions. Operator, would you please facilitate the question and answer part of this call?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Investors and analysts who wish to join the question queue may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question from the question queue, please press star, then two. Once again, anyone on the conference call who wishes to ask a question may press star, then one at this time. Our first question comes from Kevin Krishnarante of Paradigm Capital.
Hey there, guys. Good morning.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi there. First, just a question on the Mitel business. That was up a nice 37%. There was a one-time benefit in the disclosures, $154,000. Do you mind just talking about what that relates to?
Sure. So the one-time catch-up on the Mitel business just relates to some discrepancies that in the licensing that we had noted. We don't expect that to be recurring as we go forward. So that's all being settled now.
And great. So as we think more forward-looking about the organic growth profile there, can you maybe talk about what you're seeing with regards to the pace of user growth in Q1 versus Q4 and maybe what the pipeline is looking like as you look into Q2?
Sure. We are, we're continuing to see uptake from Mitel. I mean, you look at their revenues, they're doing $1 billion a year. Our analytics are attached to every one of their solutions that they are, taking to market. So that continues to grow. On the other side, we've recently attached to a couple of new systems that Mitel has acquired. And we're only just starting to see the first aspects of those revenues come in. So we still see that, you know, growing in the future as well.
And how about the potential for cross-selling of solutions into the Vision customer base?
So that's, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head of why, you know, this is why this is so important to us. You know, the Mitel dealer network is substantial. And being able to have these solid relationships we do with those guys and be able to take our products to them and be able to say, for instance, you know, you've already bought our, you know, analytical software. You can now buy this IT dashboard that not only monitors that, but also looks after, you know, Azure, Google Cloud, SolarWinds, Splunk, you name it. And that's exactly why we're going down those channels, because we have the relationships. And now we have something that those distributors, MSPs, systems integrators, can either offer to their clients on top of MPA and bring something new. And that's always one of the challenges of system integrator. You're always wondering, what am I bringing new to my partners that will help them in their environment? And we think we have the answer to that.
Right. And on that note, as you think about the revenue-based $3.3 million in the quarter, is there a way to kind of maybe quantify how much of that might relate to cross-selling opportunities? I know it's very early, but I'm just trying to think about that. Or if you can't speak to that, maybe what you might think some realistic penetration targets might be in terms of, say, getting some of the Civision or Elfeek solutions into the Mitel customer base.
So I think, you know, we can't speak specifically to what we see in the future from a cross-selling opportunity, but I think it's important to note that we are very focused on this sort of strategic shift to put our attention on that market for the optimization of real-time services with SD-WAN using that Mitel channel. And I think we do expect that to be a recurring revenue base as we move forward. We're not providing any guidance as far as timing or quantum at this point.
Okay, no problem. Just the last one from me, again, on the Elfeek, you did speak to some of the reasons why the revenue might have been down quarter over quarter or year over year, but looks positively with regards to the new product development. I know in the disclosures and in the script you talked about product launch later in the year. I'm wondering if you can maybe just elaborate a little bit further there, and if you can speak to maybe the timing of that, and then I'll pass the line. Thank you.
Yeah, so, I mean, the product is, you know, there's two things. One is really connecting the analytics that we have for unified communications, the voice and video, to this software-defined networking, and that's the key challenge. I'm sure a lot of people on this call are used to being on IP phones, and the video gets wonky or the voice call goes garbled. That's becoming a consistent challenge as the bandwidth gets more and more blocked or demanded by, you know, people on video, you know, streaming, everybody being in the cloud, so therefore the data is not resident on your local network. You've got to reach out across the whole internet to go get it, and that creates challenges. So what we really see is, you know, we're connecting our software-defined networking into these Mitel analytics. So if you have a Mitel phone system and you're having, you know, call problems, voice quality, video conference problems, you can click through our analytics, identify there is a problem, and then go straight from there into our application that monitors our, you know, networking appliances and fix it. And, you know, again, I think that's kind of the value proposition there is, you know, getting ahead of these things. If you're the IT team, you can fix this before it becomes a problem. You can spot those pattern and trends through our analytics and solve the problem early. So that is certainly that connection has been a lot of work on the R&D side to make that a reality. And now we're moving into that phase of, you know, finding those initial installations where it makes sense. The key thing for us is we have all that data. You know, we have thousands of customers running on the analytics. So our ability to look at those analytics and see where our systems would make a difference and then go and talk to those customers saying we have the solution to the problem that we can already see is key. So again, it's something we very, very well understand in terms of who has the problems. We have the data to be able to show those problems, and then we can show them we can fix the problems with our network tools.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Our next question comes from David Kwan of PI Financial.
Good morning.
Morning, David.
Morning, John.
Nice early morning. Nice early morning for you.
Typical day. I was wondering on the Mitel channel, particularly relates to Shortel, with the agreement you guys signed earlier this year, I think you had at least one or two Shortel lines there. Can you talk about, you know, the progress in selling into that product, those product lines, and maybe looking, stepping back, just overall, when you look at Mitel's business, what percentage, I guess, of their users that you guys can address right now?
So what we are now spinning up within the Mitel environment is an understanding with the, as you said, they acquired Shortel. The former Shortel team, this is now the Mitel team, and now getting to grips with our analytics and the value they bring, so they can start bringing those to their customers. The other, you know, part of that is also the Shortel distribution network, much like Mitel's. So having to step through the Mitel environment into those, you know, effectively new partners for us is what we are focusing on from a sales perspective. That becomes key. So again, you saw the announcement that we've now made that. So the revenues are still, you know, relatively low, if not, you know, relative to what else we're doing in Mitel. You know, it doesn't really hit the, you know, the, it's a fairly insignificant part on the spreadsheet. But that's because we're only just starting to open up the tap at this stage with that relationship with these all new Shortel distributors. That takes a bit of time for them to shift. At the same time, you know, Mitel's got its own changes going on. They've consolidated onto a number of sort of platforms, you know, which came from Shortel. So they've got their own engineering piece going on. Again, one of the enormous benefits for us is being where we are. You know, Mitel's R&D focused, you know, R&D leads are, you know, effectively just across the road from us in Kanata. So our ability to go and have conversations and have meetings and whiteboard on how we can assist on some of the difficult network aspects of what they're doing is, you know, is essential and is happening. So I'm very pleased with how that's working out.
So at this point, would it be fair to say that you guys would address, you know, north of, you know, 75-80%, if not higher than that, of Mitel's user base at this point?
Our ability to assist is every Mitel platform. I don't think we're at 80% of the user base yet. It depends on the product line as well. Certain products, you know, we have a slightly, the way the licensing works is, you know, certain products are more, you know, complicated on the Mitel environment. Therefore, you know, the software is sort of seen as a virtual add-on in that respect. And others, it effectively comes bundled in. So it really varies on the product line. So maybe that's a conversation, you know, we can give you sort of more details offline, but certainly we are very conscious of which product lines we have a deeper penetration on and which ones we don't. And again, you know, they've got a fairly sophisticated line of products, including call center pieces, where, you know, they're more interested in the call center analytics than they are the voice quality analytics. So it does vary across the Mitel product line on our penetration. But at the moment, you know, every time Mitel spin up a new system, our analytics are attached to that for the sales force to be able to bring to their clients.
And I guess on a related note then, given the talk about the future of Avaya at this point and possibly being acquired by Mitel, can you talk maybe about the work that's involved, you know, to integrate your analytics solutions with new UC and UCaaS platforms? You know, I think as it relates to Shortel, looked like it was roughly about a year and a half or so before you were able to get that added on to the partnership agreement with Mitel.
Sure. So the key thing understanding is all of these unified systems, you know, voice and video, the data we retrieve is the same, whether it's, you know, Mitel or Avaya. They all have the same problem, which is one we understand. You know, going back to the timeline is not just the R&D. The R&D, you know, was months, you know, not 12, but less than 12 months to get that sorted out. You know, it's more getting into then the business case. And then also making sure we fit with the Mitel cadence, right? They're a big company with a lot of revenues. You have to fit into their timelines, their general acceptance program, you know, et cetera. So it's effectively, think about it, you know, we're spinning up R&D team to meet the pace of theirs. It's like two engines coming together. Those teams have to spin up at the same time, so it's not as easy as we're just going to start. We have to understand the cadence their machine is running at to be able to fit our R&D team into that cadence. And so that was it. And then there's the beloved business paperwork on the other side of that. So the R&D team, you know, the transition to take on another, as you mentioned, unified communication system is months, not years. And again, you know, it's in everybody's interest, both Mitel and ours, to make that happen.
Okay, thanks, Sean. Just in terms of the cross-selling opportunity, Mitel's got thousands of channel partners. You know, can you talk about, I guess, where you are in terms of trying to penetrate, you know, that base? You know, how comfortable are you that a significant number of these guys are able and in a position to effectively sell both Cevision and Ilfeek at this point? And how much work do you see ahead?
So we're very comfortable. We'll focus on the IQ, environment. That one, again, was the engineering part of saying we've got to get IQ so that it understands our phone analytics. As soon as that is done, then, you know, our ability to go to the partnership is very, you know, the partners is very strong. We'll have a team actually in London next week at a Mitel event presenting exactly that for all those distributors in Europe. And it's our first public event. Now the engineer R&D is complete. It's our first public event showing that in that respect. At the same time, our SD-WAN, we've been working very, very close with the Mitel R&D team to make sure that, you know, it is configured, it does what it does, the two-way voice works, et cetera, all those pieces have to occur. And again, you know, it's taken some time with Mitel going through its own changes to get sort of the business blessing of that. So again, we'll be showing that in London next week for the first time.
Perfect. Just one last question for me. On the Cevision side, looks like the revenues were down sequentially. Can you comment about that just so we can understand how to best model that line of business going forward?
Yeah, so it is correct that they were down quarter, sort of Q4 to Q1. I think what we saw, though, that was that in Q4 we had a couple of perpetual deals that sort of elevated the revenue in that quarter. Our bookings quarter over quarter have been consistent, and we are really focused again on driving that recurring revenue and subscription revenue base over perpetual. So I think we'll see the benefit of those subscription deals, obviously, as they play out in revenue moving forward.
Great. Thanks, Erin.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from James McDonald, a private investor.
Hi, James.
Mr. McDonald, your line is live. Our next question comes from Maurice Claiborne, a private investor.
Hi, Maurice.
Hey, good morning. I'm just wondering what you guys are doing for retail investors in America, because right now, the ticker symbol that for American investors to get in on is DRKOF, and that's listed on the gray sheets. You know, Bruce has a following, so a lot of people are trying to follow Bruce, so we're just trying to figure out what you're going to do with the gray sheet listing. Being on the gray sheets, that's kind of discouraging for a retail investor, so I'm just wondering what steps you guys are trying to take to correct that.
Yeah, so we certainly understand that that's not ideal from a retail perspective. We are looking into this with our lawyers right now, just trying to understand the requirements to move the listing. So we will keep you posted on that.
All right, thank you.
Our next question comes from Maxine Sperling, a private investor.
Hi, Maxine.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Erin. I'm going to focus more like on the team staff and the sales, the aggression, the way you have, like, you're going to have your first event in London, and that's great. I think you have an office in Paris, right? Is that, am I correct?
Yes, we do. Yes,
okay.
We do. Yep.
I'm wondering how close, John, are you with all of the, because, you know, I've got to be pushy, and nowadays it's a big world, living in a fast lane and all that, and we have, like, you know, it's a big, I mean, there's opportunities galore everywhere. And we want those numbers going up, you know, of course. So who is in touch, like, aggressively with all of the staff, the top sales representatives, the people who are on the road, the people who are doing the meeting and all that? Are you personally in touch with, do you have like one, what's your team? How many right hands do you have, like, really, like, intercontinentally, like, working? And are you pushing also for Asia? I mean, everywhere around the world, of course, we need what you have, you know, we need you. So, till South America. So how aggressive, I mean, as the minute pass by, days and days, how are we, you know, it's like, because I'd like to see as a shareholder, like, 3.3 million, congratulations. But, you know, I'd like, you know, nowadays, it's those numbers sound, it could, you know, we just want more, of course. It's a greedy world. So tell me about your relation in your team and how, you know, what's the pumping with your, hey, good morning. Do you have like a screen meeting with all your people in Europe and all that? How are you in touch with your salespeople and meeting, and how do you, you know, what's your magic potion for, like, you know, stimulate and motivate your staff?
So there's a couple of things in there. So I, again, you know, we report this out. I have four direct reports, and on the sales side, one of those is our chief revenue officer, Stephanie Riechheimer, and she's in Amsterdam. She's in Europe. The other three of my direct reports are in Canada. And again, we got bricks and mortar in Amsterdam. We have bricks and mortar in Paris, Montreal, and Canada, and then we have some other folk in the U.S. So that we use a number of collaborative tools, a lot of video conferencing to talk to each other. We also spend a bit of time on airplanes. I was in Europe recently with the teams. And again, it's you know, one of those, you know, we have our cadence and we drive those sales opportunities. We're just moving into, just completed a proof of concept with a very large French retailer. We've just closed a central bank in South America. So again, and this is a lot of with partners. We work very closely with partners globally, which is the one-to-many. That's the efficient sales model for us. You know, so for instance, we talk about the number of hospitality clients we have. You know, our ability to service, you know, a couple of hundred hotels is through our partners, and that's the efficient model. So when you have, you know, one of our sales guys who's dealing with three partners, and those three partners are dealing with hundreds of clients, it's a very effective model to go to market and being able to manage those channels. So, you know, we have, you know, like you said, very high touch point. In terms of, you know, whole company, you know, we have a number of tools in the company that allow, you know, very open and transparent communication across the company. And at the same time, you know, we make a very, you know, concerted effort in terms of town halls, you know, open pieces, and make that work. So thank you. But again, I don't know if it's a secret sauce, but it seems to be working for the company and makes them makes us go.
That's good. Thank you for your answer, John.
Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to John Proctor for any closing remarks.
On behalf of all of us at Martello, thank you for your interest and time. As mentioned earlier, you can reach us by emailing investor@martellotech.com. And at the same time, we hope to see many of you at our Investor Day in Toronto on Tuesday, the 24th of September. Thank you for your time and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.